Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Simon Barrett, and this is another in my ongoing series, The Week in Reviews, a chance to sit down one-on-one with someone in the entertainment world. My guest today is filmmaker Larry Schweikart. Larry, welcome.
Thank you, Simon. Great to be here.
But before we get into your new movie, Rockin' the Wall, I'd love to hear a little bit about who Larry Schweikart is.
Sure. I'm a native Arizonian. I was born in the desert. And sometime around high school, I began playing drums, ended up in a whole bunch of rock and roll bands, and even though I went to college, the minute I graduated from college, I went on the road with rock and roll band and ended up opening for Steppenwolf, Savoy Brown, James Gang, people like that. And that went on for a while, but as you may know, the road is very hard, especially if you don't have a lot of roadies, you're not flying, you're driving places. So after a few years, I decided I wanted to stick around closer to home, just play at night, but I wanted a day gig, and I thought teaching would be easy. So long story short, I went back to school to get a teaching credential, and to get that, I had to have a class in U.S. history, and that completely changed my life. I got a Ph.D. in history, and I never lost my love of rock and roll, wrote about rock and roll a lot when I could, especially as I got tenure where I could write about anything I wanted to.
So what pushed you into the movie idea?
Well, there were actually two projects going on at the time. One was a book called Seven Events That Made America America. And I didn't want to look at big things like the Declaration of Independence or the Civil War. I wanted to look at things that I thought really shaped our character, but that people don't know a lot about. And one of those I thought was the influence of American culture, especially music, in helping to bring down the Berlin Wall. And so I had a chapter called The Steel Guitar Rocks the Iron Curtain. At the same time, I was co-authoring a biography of Mark Stein of Vanilla Fudge. Long story how we got there, but I said to Mark, I'm happy to do your bio, but it needs to be a broader history of rock and roll. And he agreed. And so we ended up with a great book that's available only on Amazon called You Keep Me Hanging On. And while it's Mark's biography, I want to reiterate, I think it's a terrific small history of rock since about 1960. Well, in the process of doing those two, that book and that chapter, I ended up interviewing all sorts of rock and rollers. And so many of them had played either at or behind the Berlin Wall in communist countries. I thought, you know, this would make a great documentary film. And I happened to know a Hollywood producer. I said, would you make this? He goes, no, but I know somebody who would. And he introduced me to Mark Leaf, and one thing led to another, and within probably 6 months, we had a plan to do a movie, and being the producer, I had to go raise the money, and so I did, and we made the movie.
All right. I'm a book kind of a guy, so I'm going to derail you right now.
Okay.
What were the other six items that define America?
Well, one of them is something very few people, including Americans, really understand, and it's the Missouri Compromise that caused a congressman named Martin Van Buren to create the political party system that we now have in America, which is why we don't have many third parties or why third parties don't do very well. It's all because of the structure Van Buren set up. Another one, I don't want to go into all six of them, it'd be, you know, probably long and involved, but another one is Dayton had a massive flood in 1913, and, of course, Johnstown had a massive flood in 1889. And so I looked at the response of the community to those disasters compared to, say, Katrina just a few years ago, and the response is quite different. The people just rallied. They didn't even want outside help. They rejected it. They policed themselves. There was no looting. It was really quite an amazing thing.
It sounds a fascinating book. I will have to talk to you about it off air.
Good.
I really enjoyed Rocking the Wall. It's just a fabulous, fabulous documentary. Would you mind if I played a track from it?
By all means, please do.
Okay, Trains Keep a Rolling, and I have questions after it's done.
He
Now,
great. Yeah, I love it.
Oh, it is. And you know, the more you listen to it and put it into the context of the documentary, it makes a great deal of sense. In fact, what we haven't really talked about is the subject of the documentary. And I'll summarize it, and you can get grumpy. And it's about how rock music...
Simon, before you go there, let me real quickly give you the story of that song in the film, because I know you're going to want to hear this. When we were playing in our band, opening for Steppenwolf and others, we would play a club in Florida regularly called the Performing Arts Center. And another group that was always performing there was Mother's Finest, who just did that song. They are still playing and still killing it 40 years later. And so I would hear them play Train Kept a Rollin', which, as you know, was kind of originated by the Yardbirds, even though it's a, and I'll show my lack of music acumen here, it was originated by a blues player whose name escapes me, but Yardbirds kind of made it famous. But these guys just knocked it out of the park, and so when I got them to do music for rock and roll, I said, you've got to record Train Kept a Rollin', it's not on any of your albums. And they said, well, Joyce has a problem with that. And I said, well, Joyce, what's the problem? She says, well, I think it's a song about rape. I think it's a song about, you know, gang rape. I said, I don't think it is. And we talked about it. She said, all right, you may be right. And so they recorded it. And after they were done, she sent me an email. She said, I'm so glad you had us record that. It is one of our most requested songs at our concert. So didn't mean to interrupt, but I knew you needed to hear that story.
Oh, no, I mean, that's a great story. I thought it fit so well because we haven't really talked about the substance of the documentary itself.
And right.
Very much it's about how rock, Western rock, and blue jeans brought down the Berlin Wall. And, you know, I'm using that quote shamelessly because it's mentioned on there.
Well, so many of our artists and witnesses, and I refer to all the people who weren't musicians but who were affected by music, I just call them the witnesses, they all said the same thing. And they said that the music was bleeding into us. We were hearing it through Voice of America, Radio Free Europe. But in the course of doing the interview, something else grabbed me that I hadn't seen before that I think explains a lot. And it was that many of these people could not understand English lyrics, but inherently they knew this was a music of freedom. And so one of the things we tried to do, and especially the first third of the documentary, is to look at rock and roll itself and ask the question, how is it different from other music forms, and what is it about rock that has this inherent freedom? And I think the answer we come to is that rock and roll always starts together as a group, it ends together as a group, but in the middle, you always have the solo. And it's that individuality, I think, that seed of individuality that was creeping through to these communist and socialist countries, they said, hey, I want to stand out like that.
There's a gentleman on the documentary, and I can't remember his name, but he has a fairly thick accent, long black hair.
Yes.
I just think he is absolutely splendid. Can you tell me who he is?
Sure. His name is Leslie Mandoki. He is a folk hero in Hungary because he was a student drummer and a revolutionary. And they would do concerts in which they would play music basically against the regime, and they would always get shut down. And I said, were you thrown in jail? He goes, oh, yeah, about a dozen times.
I mean, it's fabulous stuff. Is there a website that people can go to?
Absolutely. The website for the film is Rockin' the Wall Studios, R-O-C-K-I-N, rockinthewallstudios.com. And you can get the 83-minute version, as we call it, the director's cut, there. The film is due to be released everywhere, Amazon, iTunes, stores, on November the 4th, so it will be available there in a 78-minute version. So if you want the director's cut, by all means, contact us at Rockin' the Wall Studios. And the soundtrack is available right now that has Train Kept a Rollin'. It has something I think you're going to play later, Ball of Confusion. It has all original songs except, I think, two, and two great covers, and three great covers. And Peter Rivera of Rare Earth also did a song for us on that album. So it's just got really good songs top to bottom.
Oh, it's a fabulous album. Yeah. And when you put it in conjunction with the movie, you go, oh my. I mean, how long did it take you to put the project together?
Mark Leaf and I spoke about this and planned it for maybe 3 months, 4 months in the summer of 2009. And I had never raised money in my life for anything. And we came up with a figure, and it was not a small figure, of how much it was going to cost. And like a naive fool, I went out and managed to raise the money. We raised the full amount of money, shot it, finished it in 12 months.
That I find absolutely astounding. You know, it's beautifully produced, and just getting you know, the clips that you have must have been no easy task. Yeah, you know, today's IP laws are. I mean, that must have been a battle on its own. Or not. Uh-oh. Larry's gone very quiet. Okay. So, until Larry gets back with us, let's
okay,
play
you're
another.
Okay, I'm back.
Oh, okay.
You there?
Yep.
Somehow hit a mute button. I'm sorry.
Did you hear my question?
You were asking about the footage, and that's why we have a person in the company whose job it is to acquire this footage. We had two different people acquiring footage. There are a few things that you can't get, or that CNN or somebody wants too much money, so you have to be selective within your budget. But yeah, they did a great job.
Oh, they please excuse me. I think I have the flu or something, but I'm sure it's not Ebola, because I haven't been to West Africa recently. In fact, I've never been there.
Well, I will tell you a secret about the soundtrack. There are two songs on there by a group called Rampage. And if you listen closely to the drummer, you might hear Larry Swihart on there.
All righty. Well, what I was planning on doing was playing another track. Ball
okay.
of Confusion.
Yes.
How does that sound to you?
That sounds great.
Okay, here it is.
Mm-hmm.
yet another great track. Even though the documentary is about bringing down the Berlin Wall, it fits, and it fits so well. I mean, how on earth did you come up with the concept?
Well, it just struck me that missiles and bombs and guns are sometimes needed, and I don't think the Berlin Wall would have fallen without them. But I think also that other factors can be critically important. And we already knew what a fourth religion was behind the Iron Curtain and how popular the Pope was. And it just struck me that nobody can resist rock and roll. I mean, my goodness, it's everywhere you go in the world. Western rock and roll is everywhere. You'll be in Japan, and there will be a karaoke bar in which they're singing Elton John songs. I had a story of a guy who was hiking in South Africa, and he was way off the beaten path. He rounds the corner of a hill, and a guy has a water stand there with water and, you know, fruits and so forth. And the guy had on a Van Halen T-shirt. So you can't get away from Western rock and roll.
And there is no escape. I've heard tales, but they're you know, hard to prove, that at Guantanamo Bay they play constant rock and roll to you know, annoy the inmates. But as I said, I have no proof on
you,
that
you haven't
one.
Been there, Simon? You haven't been there?
No, I've been trying to avoid it.
Well, let me tell you about, since you played the song, let me tell you about Ball of Confusion. Of course, it was a song made famous by The Temptations at a much faster pace. But Mark Stein and Vanilla Fudge, one of their key signatures was to take faster songs, like You Keep Me Hanging On and Ticket to Ride, and slow them down and make them more soulful. So I thought that would be a terrific song for Mark to do. So I suggested it to him. And just like Mother's Finest with Train Kept a Rollin', at first he wasn't very happy. I don't know how that's going to work. And then he did it, and he says, man, I really see it. It's really working. And the guitar work on there is like Jimmy Fiano, one of Mark's band members, just did a terrific job on the track as it was going out.
Wow. So, you know, what is your plan on releasing the movie? Are you doing the movie Sundance things or what?
We have avoided film festivals.
Yeah.
And we just took our show, as they say, right to the consumer. I'm doing a national theatrical tour, kind of one-night stands across the country right now. We've already been in about 20 cities. I'm heading out to the west coast of the United States next week, and I'll be in L.A. and Tacoma, Washington, Phoenix, Arizona, Chandler, Arizona. And then we kind of wrap up this part at, of all places, Westminster College in Fulton, Missouri, where Winston Churchill gave the famous Iron Curtain speech. So that's kind of where we're going to end this part of the tour. And by then, the movie will be released. It'll be available for video on demand. It'll be on Amazon. It'll be on iTunes. You can pre-order it now. Just go to Amazon, iTunes, or you can get it through our website.
I'm curious, what sort of feedback are you getting so far? I know it's early days.
Well, nobody, not one person has said, I really don't like that movie, or come up, man, it was just okay. People really like the movie. There are a lot, as you might imagine, in the screenings, there's a lot of people who live behind the Iron Curtain, and so there's often a lot of tears, and in the Q&A, There's a lot of stories of people who live behind the wall. I think one of the stories we really wanted to tell, and I think we were successful, was the story of how music actually got behind the Iron Curtain. And so we have all these different people telling about how they smuggled in records, how they family members would bring them a tape and they'd have to copy it and then give a copy to somebody else who'd give a copy to somebody else. We have an interview with a guy named Gabe Baum, a Romanian music collector, and you hear people gasp when he says that he paid $150, the equivalent of $150 for a Simon and Garfunkel record. And yet, today, of course, kids expect music to be free.
Oh, I remember that part. It was parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. And he,
right.
he had it on his wall. And my eyes got really wide.
I mean, kids today, what do you mean it's not free? Not only is it not free, it's going to cost you 1 month's salary if you want to listen to rock and roll. And they paid it.
Well, do you think there are other walls waiting to be broken down? North Korea, for example.
Right, and in fact, as the end credits roll out, one of our interviewees, Rudy Sarzo, of Quiet Riot and Blue Oyster Cult, he also played with Ozzy Osbourne. Rudy was born in Cuba, and his family escaped. And so as the credits are rolling out, Rudy says, you know, there are other walls to fall. Cuba. Well, we decided to make that the focus of our next picture, Other Walls to Fall. And we're almost done with that. It's been a much more difficult movie to film. Among the stars we had in that one are Clint Black, Yanni, and Busta Rhymes, but we also have people from the Middle East. This is pretty astounding. We have a heavy metal band from inside Tehran that smuggled us footage and interview footage out. They can't even play live out on the street. They would be stoned, and I don't mean stoned in the old rock and roll sense, but stoned. But they managed to smuggle us great footage of their band inside Iran. We have a Cambodian rapper in Other Walls to Fall who was on his country's death list. So, yeah, there are other places that we're looking at the interaction of music and politics.
Well, I tread carefully. People lose their heads, particularly in the countries you mention.
Well, you know, when we were doing Rock in the Wall, one of the things we didn't explore as much as we could, just because you have to cut something, was how rock bands were treated behind the Iron Curtain. And in Russia in particular, you're not going to believe this, but they had a Ministry of Rock. They actually had a government bureaucracy to handle rock and roll music. And this Ministry of Rock would try to co-opt rock and rollers, and it would pay them or give them subsidies, give them housing vouchers, food vouchers. But the key was these rock and rollers had to play music that the government approved of. They had to submit all their lyrics and their music to censors before they got paid. So many of the musicians opted for that to become collaborators, but many did not. And many continued to play music that was not accepted by the regime in the Soviet Union. Leslie Mandoki in Hungary was the same way. He refused to submit, and he eventually had to flee Hungary, and he escaped to Austria. So that's a major untold story. We just didn't have time to tell all the stories.
Oh, that is such a great story. And you should give it some serious thought. I'm looking at the clock, and we're just about flat out of time, but before we wrap this up, are there any parting thoughts you would like our listeners to hear to?
Well, you and I had talked off air about Jack Bruce, and it's a great loss to the music community. And just a real very quick story on Jack Bruce. In 1969, I got to see Cream at a theater. It was a theater in the round. The stage was supposed to rotate, but it broke down with the knee to the back of the amps, and all I could see is Ginger Baker for 2 hours, which, as a drummer, I didn't mind, but I didn't get to see as much of Jack Bruce as I would have wanted to, and we'll all miss him.
Theater in the round. That does smack a lot of the BBC and the UK. Would I be correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Larry, it has been marvelous talking to you, and we shall talk again.
Until I love it. Thanks, Simon.
Yep, till next time. This is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a happy, healthy, and safe week. We'll be back again soon with another edition of the Week in Reviews. Till then, goodbye.